live and local. It's Stiles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. as we talk all things Kings. Talked a little bit of Niners. Might get back into some Niners later on in the show with our Truck Smart Drive of the Week. And the Kings, the gauntlet that we've talked about for weeks now, it's finally here. Well, technically it's tomorrow, but it's finally here.
I don't know if I'm excited or scared.
I'm excited. And call in 916-333-911-1140 if you are going to be at any of the games, because it's going to be electric in there.
Yeah.
You get the Celtics. Mm-hmm. You get Jason.
That's a lot of history.
Jaylen Brown, you know, he went to Cal.
Sure did.
Right? NorCal area guy. Yep. So Jaylen Brown.
Maybe is Kata back in the building too?
Yeah. Yeah. You got
there's
you,
also that.
You got some guys. Yeah. And then you have the Suns, I think. No, the Kings already played the Suns, but won't be the big three, but I think that'll be. But the last time the Kings played the Suns, there was no KD, right?
No KD.
Only Devin Booker.
Yep.
So that will be a bit of a test.
No Bradley Beal on Friday either.
No Bradley Beal. And then on a back-to-back, you got the T-Wolves and the T-Wolves with bad intentions.
Yep. Because, and Jaden McDaniels this time.
Yeah, right, exactly. And you have the Kings who gave the T-Wolves their first L at home. Now, one thing to remember, though, as we break all this down, I think we had talked about this as well, Chris. The Celtics, I'm trying to see the other teams as well. So the Celtics do have their own back-to-back.
Oh, love that.
Well, the Celtics are playing the Warriors tonight.
Yeah.
And then they have to play the Kings tomorrow. Mm. So that's one thing to keep in mind as well. The Suns.
How does that Celtics Warriors series still play? Like, did it feel like last year? Because, you know, they had
last
the final
year was electric.
Series. Really?
But that was the year after, though.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That was the year right after. And that was the year, I think, where Steph Curry threw his mouthpiece again and got kicked out. But Jordan Poole, they ended up winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, against, I believe, that was either the Celtics or the Grizzlies. It was one of those big home games. But yeah, I was at the Celtics game. And
so it feels kind of to that Memphis level of like, there's
I don't know that it will now.
Okay.
I actually don't think it will. But last year,
there was some energy to it. Okay.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
So the Suns, they have a game tonight against the Blazers. So the Suns are going to be well-rested.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Blazers tonight, the Blazers just played them tough last week. But they have the Blazers tonight, and then they do not play again, weirdly, until Friday.
Mm. Yeah, that's a long break.
That's a long break for the Suns.
Yeah, and I think the Kings last time had the rest advantage against the Suns as well. I think the Suns were coming off, I think both teams were coming off a back-to-back last time they played. So now Suns having that major rest advantage. It's going to be interesting. I mean, that's definitely it's a matchup you need to pay attention to when it comes to the divisional records of everything as well. It would do the Kings really well if that's the only win that they get of this three-game stretch. That would definitely be the one to get, just because it does hold off a division opponent, and it also helps you feel good about playing that Suns team, which even though they haven't played like it, I still think, you know, they're one of the most dangerous teams in the Western Conference. Like, when you're talking about teams that could actually put some fear in you if you're going to play them in a playoff series, like, Suns are top two, top three in the West, right?
Always. And, what they're doing versus who they are, who they could be.
Yeah.
You got the Suns. I guess you still put the Warriors there, but you got the Suns, Warriors, and
different level
Clippers.
Yeah. Clippers, definitely. Clippers, to me, are the one.
Right, I don't know what to do with the Lakers. I'll be honest with you. I have no clue what to do with the Lakers.
I'm not
really, those two teams, if we're being completely honest, as of today, would be the Suns and the Clippers.
That's it. I would say so, yeah.
That's it in terms of what they could be. So
Nuggets, too.
Exactly. Yeah. The Timberwolves have a game. They have a back-to-back, a weird back-to-back, actually, where they have the Sixers tomorrow in Philly.
Okay.
And then they fly back home to take on the Lakers.
Okay, I'm not certain about that.
So they
flight.
Go Wednesday, Thursday, and then they get a break, and then they play the Kings on Saturday. So they will be kind of rested.
Interesting.
They get a day off.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, schedule's not going to be easy for you, that's for sure. I mean, yeah, right. So the Kings will be...
This makes me
so
feel better.
The Kings will have bad rest advantage right. for both this, of those this, games.
This,
the
this makes me feel better. The only team, which I would probably say I probably feel the most confident about, even though Devin mm-hmm. Booker did play them tough, is the team that will be the most rested yeah. in the Suns. The other two teams that we just... We know the Celtics are rolling. We haven't seen yeah. them yet. They're coming off a back-to-back.
Right.
The T-Wolves will be coming off not a back-to-back, but a day removed from a weird hybrid traveling back-to-back. So you got to take advantage.
That's a lot of travel in general for the T-Wolves, actually.
Now that I look at it like this and the Kings get to just chill at home,
yeah,
you got to get two. That's how I – just from yeah. looking at that, I think you got to get two.
Does the – we'll talk about it more tomorrow as the game is tomorrow, but, like, does that Celtics – matchup make you nervous? I mean, when yes. we've talked a lot about this year about teams just flat out being bad matchups for the Kings that mm-hmm. they just can't overcome no matter how well they play, seemingly. You're throwing them in that Clipper, in that, you know, Pelican, that crop of teams.
Well, let's think of the Celtics makeup, though. Yeah. You have Jason Tatum
yep.
and you have Jaylen Brown. Yep. It's really about those wing type yeah, rangy sure. guys.
The Zion and B.I. example.
Exactly. So yeah. if you're looking at who the Celtics are putting out every single night, you have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Porzingis, who I think is struggling with something.
Yeah, he's always in and out of the lineup, yeah.
Jrue Holiday, who's your lockdown
problem.
Defender.
Yeah, De'Aaron hates going against him too.
Derek White, who's another problem. Lockdown defender. Al Horford, who is a vampire, he's yeah. just still hanging around.
It's a good matchup for Sabonis.
Yes, for sure. And then you have Peyton Pritchard, so yeah.
Depth might have to come to a factor there because, I mean, yeah, starting lineup, it's about as brutal as it gets. I mean, especially from the facing that defense perspective, like, you know, the Kings being a high-powered offense who, again, we've talked about a lot. We still... Just because the shots have started to fall, we've kind of gone away from the one-dimensional talk and the if the Kings aren't hitting shots, how are they winning the game talk.
Yeah.
Wednesday does make me wonder, okay, if the Kings are, I assume they're probably not going to shoot 50% from the field and 40% from three in that game, how do they win that game? Can they win an ugly game?
Why do you assume that?
I mean, we just haven't seen it. Like, yeah. Why do I assume they won't shoot that
yeah,
way?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, the Celtics' defensive level feels like, I mean, the Kings would have to just be on one that day. Like, they would have to be clicking on all cylinders. I just think the Celtics, I mean, their first thing is going to be don't let the Kings get into their rhythm and flow.
Run them off the line.
Run them off the line. Be big as possible. This is a team that struggled with size and length all year long. Don't let Keegan Murray going. It'll be interesting to see Keegan going against a physical dude like Jaylen Brown. I assume they'll put Jaylen Brown on him so Tatum doesn't really have to run around and chase him all day. It's just going to be a tough – I mean, the Celtics, like you said, I mean, they're rolling right now. It's going to be a really, really tough game for them. I mean, the Kings at least do have the things working in their favor, the fact that the Celtics are the traveling team and on the second night of a back-to-back, Kings are chilling since Monday. So they've got a lot of things working for them, but – it just, I don't know, man. That Celtics team has been a brutal matchup for this Kings team. I'm talking like there's been a couple games where the Celtics have just destroyed the Kings by like 35-plus points, and they don't have any answer for them. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, that's kind of a big part of Keegan's development, right, is okay, you're starting to shoot well now. Let's see how the Kings are stacking up now with a really good version of Keegan Murray. Does maybe those forward issues that they've been dealing with, are they – I won't say alleviated because I don't think Keegan's just going to completely eliminate the problem, but are they lessened? And can the Kings – I think the point is, can the Kings give themselves a damn chance? Because yeah. they have not had even a chance in some of those Pelicans games. And, yeah, in those Clipper games too, it just felt like Kawhi and Paul George got whatever they wanted whenever they wanted.
And an overused sports term, right? This is a measuring stick game.
Oh, yeah.
For the Kings.
Yeah.
Well, definitely a week, yeah. but this is just in terms of the East Celtics Coast team right. that, hey, you think you're finals worthy? This yeah. is a team that has much better odds than you to win the finals. Let's see what you do against them,
yeah.
albeit coming off a back-to-back. Whatever, don't get blown out, yep. right? And this is a game where we were talking about Harrison Barnes, how he's been playing much better. He's been scoring the basketball. This is a game where if you're looking at Jaylen Brown locking up, Jason Tatum's no slouch on defense. No. Jrue Holiday defensively. Derek White defensively. I'm screaming. This is the time, and I'm not going to make him my dog again, or maybe I'll break my roof. Kevin Herter. Can you get some shots up?
Kevin?
We're looking for Kevin it's Home Alone.
Yeah.
Okay? Where have you been?
Yeah. Where have you been?
This is a game where if I'm the Celtics, I'm going to sit there and say, we have to let Harrison Barnes do his thing and Kevin Herter do his thing.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, technically they do because they have a lot of defensive players, but based on their rotations,
when
the ball's swinging, the one guy who's probably going to be open is Kevin Herter. And last night, I don't know, he didn't play poorly, but there's a lot of, he's in the pick and roll. They're not going to, maybe you can catch the Celtics off guard, but I feel like Kevin Herter is a little bit lost right now in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
Not playing bad,
rebounding
the basketball for sure, but this is the... We pay you, not we, but Vivek pays you to shoot the basketball.
Sure does.
Okay, and I would say tomorrow night is a night to where you look at this lineup and who the Celtics are going to be keying in on. Kevin, you need to shoot the basketball.
Right, and I mean, when you talk about Celtics keying in on someone too, it's probably going to be a game where you can't look at De'Aaron and say, hey man,
can
you save us?
Oh, no.
Because he's
going to
be like, bro, do you not see Drew Holiday?
They're going to be on him.
I'm just trying to get 20 here.
With
okay?
Jaylen Brown shadowing on him. There was a play. There was a play yesterday when Kevin Herter got the ball in the normal rotation. You remember this? This was pretty early. This is when the Wizards were up, you know, the beginning of the game. I think it was still the first quarter. There is a play where Kevin Herter got the ball. He got the ball. He pump faked. The defender came out. I'm saying, Kevin, shoot the ball. He takes a dribble and tries to do a Steph Curry, James Harden step back. And did he airball that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Gotcha. What's going on, like, brother?
I also thought he traveled on that, too. It was
also like the third worst shot the Kings took that night.
Last night?
Yeah, because remember Lyles had the airball three-pointer, too. Fox had that one bad one.
Yeah.
Sure did.
But, I mean, I'm not putting De'Aaron in these conversations. And Trey is.
They just... The Jordan Poole was rubbing off on them.
Yeah, right. It's
Jordan
contagious. It's
too,
contagious. Yeah. But yeah, Kevin Herter, tomorrow is definitely a game where he's going to have to show up for sure.
Sounds like you're falling into your same
I'm
old
not
patterns.
Doing it. I'm not going to
sure
do
sounds
it.
Sounds like it.
I want somebody on the Sack Chat or on the call or text line. They can take Kevin Herter as a dog. But I won't do that because I want a beam. I want a Celtics beam tomorrow night.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. You said a Celtics beam, and I was like, wait, whoa, against the Celtics.
Celtics beam sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard it is. Like, I want the Celtics. I want the Celtics to light the beam tomorrow.
Out there in Boston?
I don't.
Oh, that would be funny if we change the color of the beam based on who we beat.
That's actually.
No, I don't. That could be
V2. That's V2.
Maybe in 10 years when we've gotten bored of this beam, maybe we'll change the colors and do that.
Yeah, it's like when we're on that Celtics pack. It's very similar.
Yeah, and it's a little like we killed these guys and we fly their colors.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Completely took over what you
did. You snatched their heart out their chest.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that you said it, the Kings would not do that. That'd be too disrespectful.
They definitely would not.
Think about how these NBA players like take every little thing as slight.
I would only allow it against the Clippers so Westbrook could lose his mind. You have to do it against
y'all
Westbrook.
Y'all disrespecting my family.
And just
like
have
that.
Bricks. Just have a beam of bricks. Just
that's
going
called
that's
a
chimney.
A bit too
far. Just have a chimney made out of bricks when you beat the Clippers. If he's going to do Rockabye Baby, just a beam of bricks.
Someone listening here, please Photoshop that.
Please
and just
do
send it.
It
to us. Just
please
a
do
beam
it.
Of bricks for Westbrook.
Styles and Watkins got to get to a break. When we get back, is Domas, Domantas Sabonis, underrated? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Kings, Niners, so much to get into. But first, we want to get into this. Vieira Farms and Jiffy Lube have come together and teamed up with Sacktown Sports for the holiday season to get you hooked up with a $100 gift certificate towards your perfect Christmas tree and a $100 gift certificate to winterize your vehicle at participating Jiffy Lube locations. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now and be lucky caller number 3 to win those $100 gift certificates. That's 2, not 1, 2. Terms and conditions apply. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140.
$200 value. Through,
$200 value. Kyle Ledbetter will take care of you behind the glass. Caller number 3 will get it done.
Alan, you got a preference between real and fake Christmas trees?
I like real.
Yeah.
I like real. We've had to go fake. We have fake because we're in a condo, so we have fake. But definitely like real. I know one time, what's it called when you put the fake snow on it? The name is escaping me.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that there was an official name for pimping out your Christmas tree with snow.
No, it's flocked. Flocked. So,
flocked?
Yes. Yeah, so we got a flocked tree.
This is like probably a pre. Okay, gotcha.
No, you buy the tree. You buy the tree the same way you'd buy another tree, and then there's an option to flock it.
Oh, so it's not like a pre. Because I know you can buy like out the box.
No. This is a pre-decorated tree. No, this is not what we have at home now.
Yeah.
This is when I was growing up. I was probably 16, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I want a flocked tree.
Sure.
Right? And you buy the tree, you go to a tree farm and you buy it. And then you just, it's like an upgrade, right? It's like, it's like getting real leather in your car or getting guacamole at Chipotle. You say, hey, I would like this flocked, right?
Yep,
and then you pay more and they flock it for you and you have a white Christmas.
It's not bad. The worst part about the real trees is the cleanup for sure. It's a lot of pines all over the place.
That one was especially bad on top of the fact that my dad let us know how expensive it was and let us know that we would never be getting that again.
I paid $300 for this tree, man. How many you looking at?
For some fake snow? Really? Really?
How many times you look at this tree?
Yeah.
How many times?
It was cool, though. And that was before Instagram, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you just had to enjoy it in real life, huh? You couldn't even share it.
But yeah, so I love a good... I love a real
the
tree.
The smell of it, man. Can't
yeah,
it. Can't
yeah.
It.
This is just much easier. We're in a transition period, but we will get back to the real trees. Yeah. So obviously you like a real tree.
I mean, yeah, who doesn't? I don't like the process of doing the real tree.
Have you ever cut a tree yourself?
Not like in my adult life, no. Like when I was a kid, we would go up to the woods and like cut it down ourselves, but it was like my dad would definitely get it started and then like push this thing like four times.
It'll
fall.
So you got to get back.
It's a good time,
though.
I mean, that's the best part about the getting the real Christmas tree is the like family activity of like going out there and picking out the tree, getting some hot chocolate, and just kind of browsing, and it just sets the tone.
You love hot chocolate, by the way.
I do enjoy it. When it's cold, every halftime, this guy apple cider
has a cup of hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Big hot chocolate guy.
It's just when it's cold because I don't drink coffee. I'm not a big like tea person either. So like when it's cold, I need something because my body temperature does not regulate.
We're in the igloo right now. Yeah. Dave has us in Antarctica, so I had to turn off. Dave is going to be upset when he comes in tomorrow, and he's probably going to turn it down.
Like 62 degrees. Yeah,
and he had the air on. The air was on. Yeah. I turned it off, so I could just bring my tree in here and it'll get flocked based on how cold it is. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
As we
talk about Domantas Sabonis and We're trying the text line. We saw someone on the text line. Not a fan. Of the Domantas Sabonis. But trying to make it happen.
They're trying.
Trying to make it work. That's not my battle. Mm-mm. And I will not fight it. But if I hear it, I'll join in. Yeah. I'll join in. I got to forget sometimes when we're in the media section because I'll be cheering. I'll be doing the things and you and, Brendan and Frank are looking at me. Hey, we can't do that with media. I'm clapping along. Hey.
Murray.
Yeah,
I'm like, Alan, brother.
Did that. King. Yeah, I'm like, Murray. And the guy from the Wizards turns back and looks at me. I'm like, sorry, that's mine. I'm still getting used to this. I'm sorry. As we talk Domas, Domantas Sabonis, and what he has been doing, he's been rolling, man. And, we have conversations. Is he underrated? Is he overrated?
Right.
And you
I mean,
really can't have this conversation.
Or guys like Chris Biederman who are like, hey, nothing matters except for the playoffs, which I get that too.
I get that too, but you also have a guy who throws up triple. It seems like so long ago, everybody used to care about triple doubles when it was Russell Westbrook and he averaged a triple double. Now, when Domantas Sabonis gets one, nobody seems to care.
No.
It's not a big deal anymore.
No, I guess now Nikola Jokic ruined the triple double.
Jokic ruined the triple double. When Giannis gets it, it's still a big deal. Do you think Sabonis is appreciated as much as he should be? And I guess not so much for Sacramento.
Right.
But in the national media.
Definitely not. No, definitely not. I mean, he's just like a cute story to the national media. And I think everybody outside of Sacramento, I mean, I threw Biederman under the bus there just because he said it earlier.
We
today,
love you, Chris.
Yeah, we love Chris. So he can definitely take it. But I think there's a lot of people out there who do share the sentiment of, it's fine, whatever, do whatever you want in the regular season, it's fine. But I just know the player that you are when push comes to shove. And you know, they're going to wait to change their opinion, which I don't blame them for. But at the same time, I don't think that you can properly criticize him then. Because to me, like, again, I will always contest that just because you had a bad 7-game stretch doesn't mean I should discount the 82 games that you played before it. Like, yeah, that plays a factor into the evaluation, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't just completely discount everything that you do. And it feels like Sabonis has just been completely discounted from anything that he does in the regular season. It would take like him putting a 30, 20, and 10 performance together, I feel like, for somebody to truly say, wow, hold on, wait a second. What is this? What is this guy? And do we need to actually talk about him? Because, I mean, what? He had 27, 13, and 11 last night, and there was probably not even a remotely a post from, you know, SportsCenter, Bleacher Report,
Never.
House of Highlights, all Never. Those overtime, whatever basketball is your favorite Instagram page. Like, none of them were saying anything about Domantas Sabonis in his game yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, I would definitely say he's underrated, underappreciated. But, you know, it's also, to me, it's not that big of a deal. Because if people want to wait for the playoffs, I just think it's just a matter of time then. Because to me, I don't believe that, you know, he's just some guy who's only a regular season merchant. Like, I don't see anything in his game that shouldn't translate to the playoffs. I just think last year was a really bad matchup. And that's the only time anyone's ever been able to watch it.
But that how you ended that is exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because it's bizarre to me. I look up a guy who is a hot name in these streets, like Lauri Markkanen.
Sure.
I think if you were to ask a bunch of NBA fans that don't watch a ton of Kings basketball, they would say Lauri Markkanen is better than Sabonis.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point.
What's funny is Lauri Markkanen has never been to the playoffs, right? And I don't understand why. I don't know if it's how Sabonis plays. I don't know what it is. But it's really weird to me that somebody with less expectations has been so heavily scrutinized for his one playoff run that he helped get a team to.
And people overblow how poorly he played, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, what if I told you Sabonis in the playoffs last year, 16.5 points, 11 rebounds, 49% from the field, like, and 4.7 assists.
Right. Right. And
what?
And a lot of those passes were going to guys that weren't shooting as well as they had been.
And that's a
right?
huge part
you know,
of that.
You know, Kevin Herter
well.
Struggling, right. Keegan Murray struggling. A lot of those were assists in the regular season. And I'm looking here thinking he's been on one playoff run. You just put out the numbers. And now the narrative is that he can't do what he needs to do in the playoffs, right? Meanwhile, you have guys that are supposedly better than Sabonis. I know it's a team game, that have never been to the playoffs.
Right.
And you have guys who are supposed to be better than Sabonis who they tricked off many a playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they got, how many years did they get,
right
before anybody came down anybody's road? I mean, the Celtics themselves, they've been going and being bridesmaids forever.
Right.
The Celtics, the Bucks, right? Kevin Durant hasn't really done much since he left the Warriors. So it's just weird to me that they've just thrown this label on Domantas Sabonis after one playoff run.
And also, like, I mean, this is probably a little bit more of an excuse, but he also had never been in a playoff series with that level of responsibility before. Like, he had been to the playoffs before with OKC and Indiana in, like, a bench role, but he was not the focal point of a team's offense and had to deal with everything. Because the Warriors, They did not game plan to slow down De'Aaron Fox. They might have wanted to. They did not game plan to slow down Malik Monk. They game planned completely to neutralize Domantas Sabonis and all the impact that he has around him. Mm-hmm. Like, if anybody is being the singular focus of a team's game plan, they're going to be affected by their play, especially when, you know, Sabonis' game isn't relying on athleticism and things like that. He does kind of need to take advantage of matchups, but I don't know. Yeah, it feels like just the pendulum has swung way too far on Domantas Sabonis just wake me up when the playoffs start.
Yeah, I mean, look, and even guys, even who they made the trade for, Tyrese Haliburton, it's almost as if not doing anything is the same as a draft, right? And how they had Caleb Williams and Drake May above Brock Purdy, which was ridiculous. But it's almost as if
if we haven't seen it yet,
we can assume that it's better than this guy that we saw, which is, it's absurd.
Great point. Right.
It's absurd. TC, we see you. Kyle's telling me we got to get to a break, but hang on. I will get to you, or we will get to you right after the break, TC, because I know you got some stuff, because we talked Harrison Barnes and Domantas Sabonis, so I know you got some stuff that you want to say. We'll get to you right after break. We will be right back with more Kings Talk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Talking Kings, talking Niners, talking Sabonis, talking underrated, overrated, properly rated. Said it at the top, I'll say it again. Umbrellas, overrated. I think I see the
That's
sun
not what
the
you
corner.
Said earlier. You said useless.
No, sorry. Overrated. Umbrellas, overrated.
Yeah, you said they were useless, though.
Yeah, umbrellas, overrated.
Yeah, it's a trash take no matter what you said. It was garbage. Like, I don't even know, like, I don't even understand how you could say they're overrated. Like,
how many people, you hold up the umbrella, and, you're walking with somebody, and you're trying to get huddled under the umbrella, your shoes are still wet.
Yeah.
The wind comes, it blows, it's inverted now.
You gotta get one of those, like,
just get a big jacket.
The more overhanging umbrellas, because they have like some.
Now,
like,
if you have long hair, maybe you don't want to mess up your hair with the hood or something like that. But
just jumping in real quick, because I was on the phone. You guys were talking about the real or the fake trees this year.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma this year, for the first time in 53 years, is going to do the fake tree, which I think means that it's kind of becoming more culturally normal at this point.
It's a pretty polarizing thing, isn't it? Especially for the older generation, it is kind of like, those things, they're cheap and tacky. And
But also, she doesn't have to like put water in it or like take care of a tree
for days
at a time.
Do you guys? Then when you have the fake tree, or the real tree, you got to put the tree into that holder.
You have to drop it into the base
and you
got to
twist the thing.
Yeah.
You only use it once
a
year.
You got to also make sure that the tree is straight.
Crooked.
Yeah,
it's
leveled.
It's wet, so now, and you only use it once a year, so the screws are rusted.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're powering through the rust, and now your fingers hurt because it's cold.
And I know you're a cat guy too, Kyle. Mm-hmm. I think you're a cat guy too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My cat likes to drink out of that water base too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's totally fair.
It's a nightmare.
You got to drink out of the water base. Now you got to add more water.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because this will be the first year of having a cat in the apartment, and I wonder if the cat's going to drink the sappy water
the
tree.
It definitely
be careful.
Will.
It's good for
it
them.
100%
it, No, it's not.
It's very good
There's
for them.
There's so much tree sap in there.
No, it's good for them. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to TC, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, TC? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Hey, Styles and Watkins, what's going on?
Not too much, man. Just hanging. What you got?
Oh, man, just tapping in. Hey, so real quick, I got a few points. So as far as Sabonis and his respect, man, everybody got to respect Sabonis. And it's not about the disrespect in Sabonis. Like, when I get on Sabonis, it was – and I've been seeing it these last couple games in this winning streak we've been on, him being more aggressive. Shoot the ball. Like, just go. Like, quit being so passive. I know that's in your nature. And if you notice in these last few games – he hasn't been doing that. He's been, like, going at people and getting hits. That's all it is with Domas. Everything else, Domas is good. And you have to respect Domas. And you got to respect what you got in Domas. And, like, if he left or something, it'd be all bad. So I'm just saying, like, be more aggressive. Not so passive. You can pass the bonus, but, like, not all the time. Like, looking to pass. Like, go look the score as far as Sabonis. As far as HB, he had a cool game last night. I don't know if that was they were looking for him. His shot was falling. But it's sometimes when you're looking for HB, he's not hitting his shots. You get what I'm saying? So for me personally, HB's cool, but he's still not off. He's like still not off the trade table. You get what I'm saying? And I know you guys haven't probably looked at it or whatever. I'm looking at Bleachers, and it was like on a Kings page. And I seen like a crazy trade, but I seen people saying no. And I was like, what? I'll do this in a heartbeat. It was like HB to Toronto for OG. It was like HB and like three first-round picks. I know we don't have them, but it was like 26, 28, or 26. 20, anyway, it was three first-round picks in HB. And people were like, I don't know if I do that. And I'm like, are you crazy?
No, you got to do that. I don't see the Raptors doing that, but you got to do that if you're the Kings.
I'm pulling the trigger on that, and I'm taking a gamble on OG. And when OG gets to Sacramento and playing with this core, I guarantee you he's signing the contract. That's all I got.
No, thanks for the call, TC, as always. And we've been doing a lot of looking at these different trade machines and proposed trades, and we can try to find that one. But if it was just Harrison Barnes and a bunch of picks for OG, I don't know. And we haven't talked too much about mortgaging your future to win now, especially as a Kings fan for so many years like yourself.
Yeah.
I've always been of the mindset of when you hit and you have something, you got to go. I don't care about picks. I've seen too many teams miss.
OG is not going to go for that much. Like, a player and three first-round picks is what DeJounte Murray went for. I don't think OG Anunoby is going to go for that
much.
But
we're not dealing with a normal person here. We're dealing with Masai Ujiri, who would beg to differ. I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen. That's just me.
If it's Harrison Barnes and three first-round picks, I'd do it.
I would probably do it. I mean, yeah, it just all ties into each other of, again, like, if you're going to trade for OG, then you got to sign him, and then you're kind of locked in with OG, and you just got to believe that that's it. I mean, it's.
I feel like you've changed your stance on OG.
I mean, it's more just.
So, by the way, before you answer that, he's got a player option.
He does have $19.9 million.
$19.9, so he could
opt. He's probably going to turn down. Most people.
So he turns that down, and now this has just become a rental.
Yes.
Right?
And that's the fear.
He could walk.
That's
so now you lost Harrison Barnes, three picks.
Yeah. And lose leverage in that negotiation as well, because if you trade for OG, well, OG holds all the cards. He's going to say, oh, you're not going to pay me what? Oh, you're trying to get a discount off? No, like, you just traded for me. You're going to pay me what I want to be paid, because I'm not the one who's going to look a fool. I didn't just give up three first-round picks for myself.
So you're saying he turns it down and he assumes the Kings would cash him out more than someone else. Because that's what TC is saying. Oh, well, once he gets here, that's always the gamble, right? Oh, well, once he gets here. We did the same thing with Otani before the Angels shut it down. Oh, well, if he plays with the Giants or plays with whoever, it's a rental, but he'll love it so much, he'll stay. Is it worth that gamble? Because OG could say,
there's no way. No, if you're trading for him, you got to have the extension pretty much ready to go as well. Like you can't take
like
that
a verbal
risk.
Agreement with his agent or whoever.
He'll probably get somewhere in the $25 million range, give or take $3 million,
which is Kuzma money, pretty much. Which
just get Kuzma.
You could argue that too. I mean, there's conversations to be had there for sure. I mean, you could definitely say maybe Washington would.
But what are they going to do with Harrison Barnes?
That's definitely the right question.
Maybe they get a first-round pick?
Yeah.
Tell Jordan Poole to put a suit on?
You could tell Jordan Poole to put a suit on. And, you know, that could.
There's worse things, but it's not. I mean, you know, if you're trying to, you know, up your rep, it's can't go much different than, Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Poole-led locker room to maybe like an HB Tyus Jones-led locker room or something like that, you know.
It's intriguing.
It's a lot better in terms of like, hey, like,
we
this
also,
is a stable environment at least.
We also haven't seen Kyle Kuzma show up anywhere yet.
No.
Nowhere.
No. He puts up numbers, though.
No, I mean in the trade
Oh, you
trade
mean in
talks.
The trade talks? Yeah. Well, he can't be dealt until January
Exactly.
Anyway,
maybe his name will pop up more. Yeah. And that's why, again,
even going, Jeremy Grant too. Same right thing. Like Jeremy, I don't know what Portland's going to be doing, paying him.
Well, I know you don't
million.
Want him. No, we've thing. Had this conversation.
Was
okay, who would you who whose contract?
Yeah,
makes
let's rank
you,
them.
Yeah, whose contract? I'm wondering if I should do this based on whose contract you hate more, mm-hmm. or
Jeremy Grant's number one. That contract,
or
crazy.
But you have to take this person on the Kings.
Yeah,
Jeremy Grant mm-hmm. or Donovan Mitchell.
Oh my gosh, I'll take Donovan Mitchell because at least you're paying for somebody who's at least like star quality.
I think
possibly at his best.
Yeah,
maybe.
All NBA second team last year.
Yeah, he sure did put
you're
up those numbers.
You're taking Donovan. Yeah. I did not expect that.
No, I didn't either. Let me tell you.
He draws the line at Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant.
Look, I cannot stress enough how insane Jeremy Grant's contract is, guys.
Yeah. It's $160 million
for the next 5 years for a guy who is like people were hoping he would play the Harrison Barnes role in the Kings offense this year.
He's a Swiss Army knife.
He sure is. He sure is.
What does that mean?
That's an expensive Swiss Army knife. You
it
know,
is.
You can either get a nice little pocket one that, yeah. you know,
no, this
got nail filers and yeah. little you know, scissors
little
or something
scissors.
Like that.
Yeah.
Or you can get, like, the, you know, military grade. This can actually chop down a tree if you need to cut a rope in a life-saving situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think I can still file my way out of there.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, the Kings are on their best 25-game start to a season since 04-05. We'll tell you why that's even more impressive than it sounds. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Stiles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Kyle Ledbetter doing his thing behind the glass. Shout out to Kyle. As we talk Kings, talk a little bit of Niners. A lot of Niners. We'll get back into the Niners a little bit as we hit the 1 o'clock hour. We'll also complain. 1:15, by the way. 1:15. You know, I don't love peer pressure, and I think I'm done. I'm done with fantasy football. I have gripes about fantasy football,
okay.
And we're going to complain about fantasy football at 1:15. So if you want to be a part of that, please do text, call, sack, chat in 916-339-1140, and we'll recap our dogs at 1:30 as well.
Do you believe, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more when we're going to talk about it, but like, do you fall under the category of I don't care about your fantasy football team? It's like a really big,
what do you mean?
Like, a lot of people will just blanket say, like, I don't want to hear about you. Just not necessarily on radio, mm-hmm. but I'm sure it applies to radio as well, mm-hmm. but just talking to a friend or maybe a friend of a friend.
Yeah,
or,
I agree. Because I'm just not into it like
about,
I'm just
yeah.
not into it like that.
Yeah.
And people want to be at, you know, a table yeah. or
it's
whatever.
It's also a very selfish conversation, right?
And they're like, dude, so-and-so you don't wanted to yeah. offer this trade yeah. for me, blah, blah, blah. Like,
bro, I just need 3 touchdowns from Julio Jones tonight,
right.
and then I'm going to yell at the TV every time A.J. Brown gets a catch.
But the other problem is that y'all are in so many leagues.
Yes.
You're like, well, in this league I'm good, and in this league I'm not.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous, and it's too much to keep up with. I don't know if this happened to you, but, you know, you're out. You're talking with whoever and, you know, they ask you what you do for work and you tell them. And then because you tell them, now they definitely, hey, well, do you have any ideas of what I should do? Do I look like a fantasy yeah. football analyst? Go watch one of the ESPN
Matthew
shows.
Matthew Berry or something.
Yeah, yeah, do I look like Matthew Berry? Get out of my face, man. What are we talking about? I know. I talk Kings and Niners,
yeah.
okay? I don't know how many projected fantasy people. I'm in last yeah. in my own dang league.
Right.
What are you talking to me
there
for?
There are people
this?
I haven't talked to in person in like 4 or 5 years from high school who will literally just ask me about their fantasy football questions because they
oh,
know
awesome.
I'm the sports person.
I'm sure you love that.
I just don't want – well, Kyle actually does love it, I'm
oh,
sure.
Yeah,
Kyle
sure
wants
actually.
To do some homework.
No, I mean
– Kyle gets on his DVOA. Well, based on the Look, DVOA
– I'm going to have to sit out the fantasy football conversation because I'm on my way to winning 3 in a row this
well,
year.
Well, good for you. Good for you, Kyle.
Hey, we'll get there. We'll get there.
No, I won't. I'm out. We'll talk about that at 1:15.
4-time champion. Might retire.
Goodbye. Can we retire mute, mute you from in here?
I'm going to mute myself. I'm not going to participate.
There you go. We'll talk fantasy football at 1:15. But let's talk Kings and their best start to a season since 04-05.
Man.
And the reason that this is even more impressive than it sounds is that De'Aaron Fox has missed 6 games.
Come on.
Keegan Murray has missed 4 games and had his ups and downs. Kevin Huerter and Barnes have struggled. In general, it really doesn't feel like they've been as good as they've actually been. And you've had back-to-backs. You can't beat the Pelicans. You can't beat the Rockets. And with all that being said, you're 16-9.
Yeah.
And we're talking about trades? Trades?
Trades?
Trades?
Come on.
Trade machine.
By the way, last time in that 04-05 season, Kings, that was the last time the Kings won 50 games. So.
Wow. Just, what did they end up doing?
Memory. Let's see here. In the 04-05 season, they lost in the Western Conference final. I'm sorry, in the Western Conference first round. I'm sorry, not the Western Conference finals. Big difference there. Lost in the first round. So
That wasn't the Spurs year, was it?
No, the Spurs year was 05-06. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, one of the last seasons in which the Kings really had any sort of relevance. The season before the last season.
Well, the positive way to look at that, you know, whatever they did in 04-05 is what happened in the past. The positive way to look at that
they
is that they made the playoffs.
They lost 1-4 to the Sonics, by the way. 1-4 to the Seattle Supersonics.
So they were the 4 seed?
The Kings were the 6 seed, actually. They were the 6 seed. By the way, and that's another thing, Kings won 48 games last year. They were the 3 seed. And then, in this 04-05 season here, they won 50 games and were the 6 seed.
Wow.
So that tells you about traditionally how many wins you're going to have to collect if you want to be at the top of the
conference. One seed that year would have been the Suns. I wonder how many games they won that year.
Let's see here.
Sorry to make you do research.
No, you're good. It's all right here. Yeah. The 04-05 playoffs was the... Yes, Suns over Grizzlies. 4-5.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, 1-8.
I just probably 1-6. Way more games than the 1-seed Nuggets last year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, the Kings are definitely rolling right now, even though it weirdly didn't feel like it, but it kind of did. And now they have this 3-game stretch where we're really going to see what they're made of. As far as takeaways so far this season,
yeah,
I think the biggest thing for me is that De'Aaron Fox, he was known as that clutch player, you know, clutch player of the year, fourth quarter, it's De'Aaron's time. And now he's just shown it's not just about the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I'm just a really good player, and I'm an MVP candidate. And one thing that Mike Brown has done, and this is on purpose, as we look at these ridiculous MVP ladders every single week, De'Aaron Fox cannot buy his way onto one of these lists. Every time we sit in that pregame press conference, Coach Mike Brown always refers to De'Aaron Fox as an MVP candidate.
Yep.
Always as an MVP candidate, because he is. And it doesn't matter what anybody, it does matter what people think because they vote on it. But eventually, if De'Aaron Fox continues to play at this level, and we can talk about Keegan and his growth, I think it goes in terms of the storylines. I think Sabonis is who we think he is. He's coming back from, you know, not performing up to what everybody hoped that he would during the playoffs. But I think the two biggest stories for me, I'd even put maybe Malik 3, but I think the two biggest stories would be De'Aaron Fox's 3-point shooting, Keegan Murray's growth, and Keegan Murray's jump. And then number 3, I might even put Malik.
I think I completely agree with that 100%. Like, De'Aaron's 3-point shooting and everything that it's unlocked and what it all means, the 30 points per game for him, the MVP, I think it's all linked to the fact that his 3-point shot is falling. Completely agree with that.
And lefty.
And he's a lefty. Allen loves a good lefty. And then Keegan's defensive growth to me is definitely the biggest development when it comes to the change year over year from this team last year to this year. It's the defensive improvement in general, the fact that they go from 23 to, I think they're probably dropping after allowing 130
mid-teens,
yesterday, but they're in the middle pack of NBA defensive ratings. I think a large part of that is because Keegan Murray has been so good at the point of attack. And then, Malik Monk, man, that consistency, that sixth man of the year race that he's in, which I've still got him at number one right now. If you're asking me, I definitely think those are the three biggest developments. And when we're talking why the Kings have had been able to overcome all of those things you listed and still come out on top as better than they've been really in a really, really long time, it's those three factors I would say are 1, 2, and 3, 100%. So I think you nailed it. And I'm looking at NBA.com power ranking for what it is. They released one this morning.
Let's hear it.
You know, this one's actually going to be good to hear. Kings only move up one spot, but they move up to number 8. And let's see here their takeaways. Let's see if there's anything here. Kings have been a little bit worse than average defensively this season, but they're number 1 in defensive rebounding percentage, up from 6th last season.
Shout out Kevin Huerter.
Kings are 0-3 on second night of back-to-backs, having been outscored by an average of 23.3 points per game and having shot 28% from 3 in those 3 games. So as the Kings have a back-to-back coming up on Saturday, definitely something to monitor, specifically their 3-point shooting. And they shot well in their other 3 games last week and are one of 2 teams, the Celtics being the other, that when they shoot the league average from 3, they have not lost. The league average is 36.5%. So when the Kings hit a league average percentage from 3, they are undefeated. Them and the Celtics are the only other teams to do that. Another interesting thing to look out for tomorrow. Celtics are 9-0 in games where they shoot over 36.5%.
On the Sack Chat from Nicktown, don't feel confident the Kings can win tomorrow night versus the Celtics. Celtics are scary, Nicktown.
Very scary.
But the other way to look at this, and I will vow not to do this. If the Kings get their doors blown off tomorrow night, I won't come on here and I won't sit here and let...
Trade machine!
Always on the trade machine. But I won't let one game destroy everything that the Kings have been doing.
Yeah.
Now, if you drop all 3 or you go 1-2 and it's an ugly 1-2, we'll have that conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let one game... I hope it doesn't happen because I hope they're able to show up, and I'm not going to sit here. I mean, the Celtics, it's not like they won. They lost. Would they lose to the Pacers in the in-season tournament?
Yeah.
They're really good, but the Kings are really good. So yeah, I get it. It's a team that you haven't really seen as much because they're on the East Coast. They're playing at 4 o'clock our time and things like that. So I get it, but I would put this Kings team up against anybody, specifically in the regular season. Postseason, we're going to find out, and we have time to find out. But don't be worried, Nicktown. And even if they don't get it done, it's not over. They're still a good team, and they have 2 more games against high-level competitors that would be able to show who they are. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will have our Truck Smart Drive of the Week.
Ooh.
And continuing to talk about the Kings and the Celtics tomorrow night. And what's going on tonight? The return of Ja Morant. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.